Chapter 7. Alvi pressed a ruler against the parchment on her desk the next morning, slowly tracing its edge with the point of her pencil. Such was her concentration on that line that when Magician Praff knocked on the door, Alvi jumped and nearly rammed the pencil butt right into her eye. Fortunately, her poly-made glasses protected her from anything more than a smudge. "Alvi?" the magician called, cracking the door open. "We had a lesson scheduled for 10:30. What on earth are you up to in here?" Straightening in her chair, her back popping once in protest, Alvi tried to see her workroom through Magician Praff's eyes, the overflowing waste bin and crumpled paper littering the floor, the pencil shavings dusting the counter between uncapped pens, the left hand of the skeleton that she may or may not have wrenched from its display late last night. She wiped her sleeve over the smudge on her glasses. "Is it past 10:30? "It's 11. Magician Praff stepped into the workroom. A balled-up piece of paper crunched under his foot. He picked it up. "What is all of this?" Alvi smiled. She couldn't help it. "I've discovered a missing piece of the puzzle, sir. It's the carburetor."
"The what?"
She turned back to her drawing, frowning at the slipped mark of her pencil. Lining up the ruler, she finished her line, then made two more. Magician Praff waited by the door. Finished, she handed the not-quite-complete sketch to him. "I was looking at the engine of an automobile yesterday, a Benz. That Bennett Cooper who came to see me, did I mention he's Ethel's brother? Also a folder, or almost. Anyway, he came by in a Benz and let me look at it, and it's a fantastic piece of machinery. Well-kept, pure.
Alvi?
But I saw the carburetor, and it gave me an idea. You know how carburetors work, don't you, Magician Praff?" His eyes lit up.
"Yes?
Yes, I do." He studied Alvi's sketch again. "What if we could use the same principle in this prosthesis? I'm trying to draw hollow chambers like straws that run up the forearm and into the fingers, though I'm not sure how best to implement them in the knuckles. I wanted to figure that out first, but if we could use pressurized liquid or air to open and close the fingers." Magician Praff finished for her. He rubbed his chin.
"That?
Yes.
That would be something, wouldn't it? But to create a motor like that, so small, and we couldn't connect it to the nerves of the arm, such a feat is beyond magic and technology. But perhaps there's a way around it. Perhaps we could pressurize liquid polyethylene, an enchantment. This requires a great deal of experimentation."
Alvi jumped from her chair. "You think it might work?"
"I think we'll need lunch brought to the plimery," the polymaker grinned. "I ought to send that magician Jefferson a bouquet of roses for delivering you here, Alvi. You're exactly the spark this place needs."
Alvi warmed. Thank you, sir."
Thoughts of lunch naturally led to thoughts of dinner, which sent her heart fluttering. Tonight was her picnic with Bennett. She still couldn't fathom it. A man, and a man as stunning and kind as Bennett Cooper, wanted to spend time with her. It was a date, wasn't it? What if she was mistaken? But how could one mistake an invitation to a picnic? Should she wear a skirt? Magician Praff had said something to her that she missed and left the room. Alvi was grateful for his excitement and the opportunity to explore this new path toward an operational prosthesis. It kept her mind off things she couldn't quite understand, or might not dare to believe. Alvi came to the lab where Magician Praff was going through drawers. He lifted a sack full of pale plastic beads, which he dumped onto the island counter. Several fell to the floor, but he didn't seem to notice. "I'm going to show you some shaping techniques, Alvi. Very similar to vacuum forming. Melt, soften. No, I don't mean you." A bead had melted in his hand, thinking the command for itself. Magician Praff ordered it to harden again and tossed it into the sink in the corner of the lab. Taking one of the model skeletal hands he'd been creating over the last week, the polymaker made several measurements and then constructed a tube that would fit within the confines of an average adult hand. It looked something like a very skinny test tube with a flat bottom. Alvi watched, mesmerized. She'd never seen Magician Praff work so quickly before. Would she be able to move like that in years to come? To craft and bend plastic the way he did, without a second thought, without checking her notes? He used some command she didn't understand. She itched to learn them. Unyielding, Magician Praff said to the long, narrow cylinder. He looked at Alvi. That will keep this mold from heeding the commands you give to the plastic you work around it. Think of it as a spell to make a mold incredibly stubborn. Only a yield command, said while moving your fingers along the shape, will break that spell. Alvi nodded, repeating the instruction 3 times in her head. She hadn't brought her notebook with her, and didn't wish to slow Magician Praff's work. Magician Praff went on to show her how to form the plastic to the mold, creating a long, thin straw. Thinness was important, but the shapes couldn't be too thin, either. They would determine the exact measurements later. A flex spell made the finished product malleable, without softening the plastic. Make these, make many of these. I'll work on creating a hollow version of this. He held up the model arm and hand. Yes, sir. Alvi pulled her chair up and got to work. She botched her first attempt, but her second was usable, and her third and fourth better than that. She got a little quicker with each one. A good thing, as Magician Praff frequently grabbed a straw from her pile and used it with the plastic fingers he was molding, often cursing under his breath before discarding the thing and grabbing another. He seemed to utter only English curses, and thus Alvi didn't mind the language at all. She still didn't quite grasp why it was so awful for something to be bloody. Lunch was served in the preliminary by Mr. Hemsley, who was mostly ignored by both Alvi and her mentor. The food itself went untouched until the bread for the sandwiches was nearly stale, and then Alvi or Magician Praff would take a bite between measurements and melting. Alvi moved from making straws to studying a glossary of polymaking spells through 1904, hoping that perhaps she'd find something useful. She did write down a few potential spells, one of which she then heard Magician Praff utter under his breath. She crossed it off her list. Aha! Alvi, come wear this, quickly! Alvi hurried to her mentor's side, only to have him shove a rounded, hollow forearm and hand over her own. He positioned her fingers with her thumb, forefinger and middle finger straight, and her ring and pinky fingers curled in. She held the position for a very long time while he molded the plastic around her. Then he pulled the thing off and stuck it full of straws. Alvi hurried back to the cylinder mold to make more. Watching Magician Praff work, she started adding rivets along the straws. They were flexible, yes, but this would allow them to bend more without cutting off the flow. Magician Praff must have approved, for when he started using them, he didn't complain. Pressure. Pressurize. Push. The polymaker had a beaker full of melted plastic and a syringe he used to push it through the straws. There's got to be a spell here we're not finding. Alvi, go upstairs and find me a thesaurus. Yes, sir. Alvi hurried out of the lab and made her way up to the library, which she had become well acquainted with over nearly a month of training. She found a thesaurus on the far wall and hurried back down to the lab, only to see Mr. Hemsley walking in with another tray of food. Alvi froze halfway down the stairs. Her eyes shot to one of the plastic-domed windows. Hemsley, she cried, racing down the stairs. Hemsley, what time is it? Hemsley sighed. When I left the kitchen, I believe it was 7:05. Alvi felt all the pigment drain out of her body. She rushed over to the butler and grabbed his sleeve, nearly toppling over the dinner tray. Bennett! Did Bennett come? Is he here? He was supposed to be... Miss Breckenmacher. Her name was sharp and hard on Mr. Hemsley's lips. He jerked his arm free of her grasp. I came to the lab over an hour ago to announce your guest, and you ignored me. He sniffed. Both of you did, so I returned my usual routine. Now Alvi's stomach plummeted to the floor. You did? I didn't hear. No, you didn't. You're quite good at ignoring the spoken word. If you'll excuse me, it's my duty to see that Magician Praff does not starve. He pushed by her, taking his tray to the lab. Alvi was still as a church on Monday for a long moment. Then dropping the thesaurus, she ran from the preliminary. The cool evening air swirled around her as she bolted down the path, making a mess of her hair. She burst into the house, startling a maid, and cut through the music room, the main hall, the vestibule. She stumbled down the front steps to the drive, the brilliant colors of a sunset greeting her. There was no automobile, no sign of him. He'd already left. Alvy dropped to her knees. If only she hadn't been so absorbed in her work. If only she'd paid attention to her clock. If only she could have escaped the confines of her own head long enough to hear Mr. Hemsley's announcement. She grabbed the thick rim of her glasses and pulled them off, not wanting to smear the lenses with tears. She breathed deeply and gritted her teeth, but a few drops still squeezed out. Stupid, stupid girl. What must he think of her? He came all this way yesterday just to ask, and she had ignored him to make plastic straws. No wonder no one ever wanted to date her. She was impossible. Her chest hurt in a peculiar and awful way. She rubbed the edge of her sleeve over her eyes. What if Bennett told Ethel? And they were so close, Alvy was sure he would, and she didn't want Alvy's company anymore. She had finally started to make friends in this place halfway across the world, and she'd ruined it. Maybe even ruined something more. All to make some straws that easily could have been made tomorrow. Oh, how Alvy ached for her easy, familiar life in Columbus. How badly she wanted to fall through a mirror and appear in her own bed, far away from this ache. Any desire for creation and the lab had fled her entirely. She sat there on the edge of the drive for a long time, watching the sun set until clouds settled over the waning light and cold nipped at her nose and her fingers. Then she picked herself up off the bricks and turned back for the house. For the first time since arriving in London, Alvy went to bed early.